The healthcare detective, Frank Lally, has written a book for Simon & Schuster about how to get affordable healthcare. Called Your Best Healthcare Now, it is available online, in-store, wherever fine books are sold. Mr. Lally is also the health correspondent for Parade and the former editor of Money and George magazines. He joins us when he can and happily. This is one of those times. Hi, Frank.
How are you doing?
I am just terrific.
No,
I can't.
Good.
Yes.
Good.
How are you?
I'm good. I'm absorbing the results of the election, and healthcare was front and center. It was, I mean, I think people now realize that healthcare was by far the top election issue. It was even more important to people than the economy, not even close. So, you know, I mean, everybody says all politics are local. It's become an absolute cliche. But when it comes to healthcare, all politics are personal. People know that they'll feel the consequences of their vote on health care, and they definitely will next year, especially in four key areas that we'll discuss today. That's Obamacare coverage, Medicaid expansion, drug price increases, and access to abortion. So let's start with Obamacare. Now, I think everybody in the country knows that for 8 years, Republicans won elections by promising over and over again to repeal and replace Obamacare. But they never kept that promise, as we all know. And I mean, I stayed up at 2 in the morning to watch John McCain walk onto the Senate floor and give his old thumbs down to the repeal and replace law that Trump was trying to push through. So they never kept a promise. And slowly, Obamacare became pretty popular. Surprise to all, especially Obamacare's a protection of people with pre-existing conditions. Now, thanks largely to that issue, protecting pre-existing conditions, the Democrats have control of the House of Representatives, and the threat of replacing Obamacare is gone. At least it's gone for the next few years. So Obamacare will remain the law of the land. That's one headline out of the elections. So new House Speaker Nancy Pelosi says improving Obamacare will be the Democrats' highest priority. Now, there, unfortunately, it's not at all clear that she can make any deals to strengthen Obamacare with Republican Senate leader Mitch McConnell. So put a red flag there. And you can bet that the Trump administration will continue to undermine the law in ways big and small. For example, by allowing employers and insurance companies to chip away at covering essential benefits like maternity, hospitalization in some cases, mental health care, treatment, as well as chipping away at protections for pre-existing conditions. So, for example, watch out for Affordable Care Act health plans. They'll have that name. They'll be part of the Affordable Care Act health plan on your marketplace in your state. And they'll accept you despite your pre-existing condition, such as diabetes or asthma or arthritis, what have you. But they'll charge you more. And in some cases, they may even refuse to cover your treatment for your condition. So you've got cancer. Well, you can sign up. We'll take your money. You want treatment for your cancer. Oh, well, geez, you didn't read the fine print. We don't pay for that. So those are underhanded plans, and they're going to be more likely under these Trump loosening of the rules. Also, watch out for employers refusing to provide free contraceptive coverage over religious or, quote unquote, moral objections. The Trump administration says all the boss needs is a moral objection. So, I mean, lawsuits are going to come flying out of the skies. We know that. But meantime, employees at a number of these companies will have to pay. So, Jill, let's turn to Medicaid expansion. I'm going to ask you, you know, how many people do you think are covered under Medicaid, not Medicare, but Medicaid for the poor? How many people do you think are covered under Medicaid in the country now?
Not a clue.
Would you be surprised to hear it's 20%, one person out of five? It's a massive program. And President Obama envisioned that Medicaid expansion would actually provide health care to everyone just over the poverty level. That's up, you know, it's up to around $33,000 for a family of four.
All right. Well, here's how messed up I am. I would have thought it was more.
You thought it might be more than 20%.
I don't purport to be the healthcare detective. I'm the healthcare idiot.
Right.
But I would have thought. One out of five. I would have thought that it would should three out of five. But as I said, I'm welcome to upside down world.
What President Obama had in mind with the Affordable Care Act law was that we'd cover everyone just above the poverty level. So, as I said, up to about $33,000 for a family of four. But the Supreme Court, you know, Justice Roberts' Supreme Court, which allowed the Affordable Care Act to go forward, but it also ruled that states could reject the Medicaid expansion. It was up to them, even though it would help its poor and vulnerable citizens. Decision was at the state level. And guess what? Now, this, I think you know, I mean, more than a dozen largely red states in the South and in the Midwest, what I call, in this case, the heartless land, rejected the federal money to provide health care for around 3 million needy Americans. But here's the good news. Voters elected governors who promised to expand Medicaid in Wisconsin, Kansas, and Maine, and the voters out mandated expansion in red Idaho, Nebraska, and Utah. Now, there's a negative side. Republicans appear to have been elected governor in Georgia and Florida over the Democrats who would have expanded Medicaid. So I know there are lawsuits going on and recounts, but it appears that the Republicans have taken the governorships in Georgia and Florida. Oh, by the way, I love this one. You know, your outgoing governor of Maine, this guy Paul LePage, he actually ignored a voter mandate to expand Medicaid. And now guess what? Moving to Florida. And a lot of people in Maine are saying, can I help you pack? You need a lift to the airport?
Yeah.
I got my car right here.
Now, please excuse this, again, political ignorance.
Yeah.
But what is wrong with it? Why would?
Oh, the argument against it is it's too expensive. The states, even though the government at the beginning was covering 100% of the cost, at least for a while, but if you signed up right away, but then it went down to about 90% now. So here's the argument. The argument is even if we have to pay 10%, that's going to be more than we can afford. And secondly, the federal government can't afford to do it. So the federal government sooner or later is going to stick the bill to us. Medicaid itself, that's a split of about the federal government pays about 60% and the states pick up the rest. Medicaid expansion, the government picks up 90%, but the argument is, oh, we can't afford that. Now, we can afford giveaway taxes, tax cuts to all kinds of rich people and corporations, but we can't afford helping the poor. I'm being a little cynical, but that's the argument.
Okay. Yeah. Just checking.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
just
trying to be the detective here.
Right.
So let's turn to the high price of drugs, because that was another really hot topic. And again, it broke well for people who are worried about that. For example, in New Jersey, voters booted the former CEO of Celgene, big drug maker, partly for raising the price of its miracle drug, Revlimid, 500%. Now, this is very personal for me. I've taken Revlimid for my blood cancer. I took it for years, and it was a very effective drug and helped me tremendously. But it now costs close to $20,000 a month. Now, you know, the majority of Americans think that there ought to be laws against price gouging like that, beginning with allowing Medicare to negotiate lower drug prices. And candidate Trump, if you'll remember, was actually for that idea. He was in favor of Medicare negotiating lower prices. But President Trump, I don't know if you ever met that other guy, candidate Trump, but President Trump has opposed it. Now, I'd say up to now, because the Democrats are really going to be pushing for a bipartisan deal there. And this is one area where I'm cautiously optimistic. Something could happen to allow Medicare to negotiate lower prices. That'd be good for a lot of people. Meantime, the Democratic House, and this one you can bet the farm on this one, Democratic House is going to launch drug price investigations that will make all kinds of headlines and ramp up the pressure on the Republicans to help rein in prices. Now, that's despite the fact that both parties take more money from big pharma than they do from the military-industrial complex.
And just for the record,
more powerful lobby than defense.
And I learned that from you because we've been doing this for a while. But you can line up, just please understand, you can line up 10 Democrats who look at me when I say, oh, yeah, they just it's like, oh, no, they don't. And so I would like you to repeat that. They do. Which is not to say that everyone can't figure out how to sort this out, because that's just, you know, if you are elected to do some good, how about doing some good?
Yeah, how about that? Well, they're collecting campaign contributions. But this is one area. I think the high prices of drugs is just out of hand, and I think it's an area where some progress can be made. All right, let's turn to this deeply divisive issue of abortion rights, and that you may realize, Jill, that that was kind of a mixed bag, because Democrats became governors in Michigan, Kansas, and New Mexico, campaigning to defend the right to choose. So there's protections in those states. But dark red West Virginia and Alabama voted to limit access to abortions. Beyond that, in Alabama, Alabama wants its state constitution to reflect the light that life begins at conception, and therefore grant legal rights to fetuses. That certainly would include protection from abortion. That used to be a right, far right idea. Now in Alabama, at least, it's moved right to center stage. And people will find that surprising, but that's how the people in Alabama voted. Now, one more topic here. There's going to be a lot of noise about Medicare for all, not Medicaid, but this is Medicare for all. And that's going to be driven largely by progressive Democrats, Bernie Sanders Democrats. And this, I think it's only going to remain a debating point until about 2020, when the presidential elections roll around. I think it's going to be hotly debated, but nothing more than that. And that's because the Republicans see it as a great campaign issue. They're not going to give up on it. They're going to move forward on anything like that, because they're going to say, wow, you know, this is, they can go out there and campaign against socialized medicine that they say would require the biggest tax increase since World War II, and they've got an argument to make, and they're going to continue to make it. But more importantly, perhaps, Democrats don't agree on whether Medicare for all should cover everyone. That's what Bernie Sanders was presenting when he ran. Or maybe just cover people over 50. That's what Hillary Clinton wanted. It was sort of Medicare for more rather than Medicare for all. Or maybe Medicare for all just means that people can choose to pay for Medicare. They can just buy into Medicare when they want to. And that's just sort of the so-called public option. So there's a big debate. There's no debate on the Republican side. They don't want it. On the Democratic side, there's a big debate about what Medicare for all really means. And here's my thought. I think until some leading Democratic presidential candidate steps forward, that's not going to happen until, you know, well close to the election. Until that presidential candidate steps forward and defines Medicare for all for the party, it'll be an idea, Medicare for all. It'll be a cause, but it will not be a cure for our healthcare system, which sure could use some cures. We don't have a great healthcare system, if you haven't noticed up to now.
Thank you, Frank, the healthcare detective and the health correspondent for Parade. Send your questions or concerns about finding affordable health care to healthcaredetective@robinhoodradio.com. Frank will try to address as many of your questions as he can on future broadcasts. And look for his book, Your Best Health Care Now, available online in stores.